Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Kuf Yud Beis, Yevamos 112, pagination 223, about midway on the page. The beginning of the line is Hanoderes Hano'o, and then at the two dots we begin. Tanan Hosom, we learned over there in Meseches Nedorim, statements or a vow that a woman might take. She takes a certain position that she wants to terminate the marriage and receive her ksuba as well. Barishona, originally, Hayu Omrim, they used to rule that Shalosh Nashim, the three cases of women, Yotzos Venotblos Ksuba, that these women would leave the marriage and they would take ksuba, considered no fault of their own. Haomeres Temeya Anilach, a woman says, I have been assaulted against my will. We're referring to a case of the wife of a Kohen, where even if she had no intent, no desire, she was assaulted, she still would become forbidden to him. And she claims that's what happened. Hashamayim beini levencha, she claims that there are no relations between him and her, and only heaven knows the truth. No one else could possibly know. So she claims that based on the fact that there are no relations, she wants to be divorced and get her ksuba and be able to move on. And finally, the third case, Netula ani min ha-Yehudim, she makes a vow that she won't have relations with anyone. And essentially what she's saying is that relations with her husband is very painful, but she doesn't want to give the impression that she's just doing it from him, because then no one will ever believe she just wants out of this marriage. So she says, it's painful to me, my estimation, from anyone. And I don't want that in my life. And therefore, she's expecting to be able to be divorced with ksuba. And originally, we accepted these three cases. If that's what the woman claims, so be it. Chazru Lomar, but later on, they changed the attitude to such claims. Shalote isha no senese nea ba'acher umekalkela salbaila. Because they found the possibility that a woman would eye a different man, and she would want out of the marriage, and therefore she would make these claims. Ella, and therefore the ruling changed. Ha'omeres temeya anilach, if she claims that I have been assaulted, Eishes Kohen wants to be divorced with Eksuba, Taviraya ledvareho, she would have to bring a proof. Hashamayim beni leveincha, if she claims that there are no relations between them, Ya'asu derech bakasha, we request of him. Apparently it's not working. Let's do this clean. Give her a divorce. Do what you have to do. This is what she wants. Netula ani min ha-Yehudim. If she makes such a vow that she's not going to have relations, yofer chelko, he has the ability to be mefer, to annul the vow regarding himself. Umisham shaso, usei netula min ha-Yehudim. And the vow regarding everybody else is going to stand. The Gemara says, Iboy Luhu, they had the following question, most appropriate for Yevamos. Netula ani min ha-Yehudim. Let's say in this third case, she says, I'm not going to have relations with anyone. Liyavam mahu. What would the halacha be if her husband would die without children, and she now becomes eligible to be married to the Yavam, to the living brother? On the one hand, Mimaska adaite demayis baila v'nafla kame Yavam, could it ever have entered her mind that her husband's going to die, and in Amid Beis we mention, without children, and she's going to be eligible to the Yavam? Perhaps it never entered her mind such a thing, and therefore it wasn't included in the vow. Bear in mind that the Yavam is the one example of someone that's forbidden at the time of the vow, and therefore she wouldn't think to include him because he's forbidden to have relations with her anyway. And then later it's possible, after the vow's already in place, for him to become eligible in a relationship with her if her husband dies without children. Olo, or the Yavam, is included in the vow, just like the husband, just like everybody else. Rav Omar, Yavam Eino Kebaal. Rav says that the Yavam is not like the Baal, which means he was forbidden before at the time of the vow, and therefore was not included in the vow, and therefore would be permitted now. Ushmuel Omar, Yavam Hareu Kebaal, and Shmuel holds the Yavam is just like the Baal, and the vow applies to everyone, including the Yavam. This is the way Rashi learns. Tosfos argues, and as it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like Tosfos. So let's re-examine this Gemara the way Tosfos understands it. Rav is saying, Yavam Eino Kebaal. Let's take a look at Tosfos, the last two lines. Ka'omar Rav. Rav is saying, Yavam Eino Kebaal, the Yavam, is not the same as the husband, meaning, Lo Maska Adaita Le'esar Atzma Ayavama Kemoa Baila. Her intent, when she was thinking to make this vow and get herself out of the marriage, she did not intend the Yavam, the living brother. She only was focused to get herself out of the marriage with her husband. It never occurred to her that she's going to fall to Yibum with the brother and that she's purposely trying to do that stunt. And according to Tosfos, the issue over here is that if she intended to sidetrack the Yibum, then we don't put pressure on the Yavam to give her Chalitza because she's the one who forced it out of Yibum. And we can request it of him, but that was the difference between requesting or forcing. But if, as Rav holds, she did not intend to sidetrack the Yavam, then Lakach Kofin Shayach Lotzla, she's in a far better position, and we would force him to give Chalitza. According to Tosfos, of course she's forbidden on the Yavam as well. She forbade herself on everyone in relations. The only difference is, if it wasn't her intent to sidetrack the Yibum, then when it comes to a case, Yibum Chalitza, and we see that her vow is in place and she's forbidden in relations, we realize that the only option is Chalitza. But since she didn't purposely do that to sidetrack the Yavam, we would accommodate her and force the Yavam to do Chalitza. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.